Chronicle.
Now,
I'm going to be teaching today, and very possibly the next time I teach, it isn't anything that can't wait. It's just an ongoing dealing with the subject of seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. I put some thought and research. That's the big word we say to studying it, okay? Sounds so impressive when you say I researched it. what does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to, when you get into the Hebrew, and I don't know Hebrew, okay? But it means his face. You seek his face. Well, now, how in the world are we going to seek the face of the Lord? You seek his presence, being in his presence. And another thought in this respect is setting the mind and heart on God. Seek the Lord. Set your mind, your heart on God. Now, one of the things that I Googled to find, okay, and I use other search engines, but that's become a generic term, just like a lot of times people say, well, get me a Kleenex. It might be a Puffs brand or a Tops brand or whatever, but it's a facial tissue, but it's a generic term. So you say Google, and even if you're using another search engine, you often say that. Now, you didn't realize that, but I just thought I'd wake you up there, John Mark. So anyway, I looked to see how many times is it listed in the Bible to seek the Lord. Well, there's different forms of, you know, seeking. And but best as I could find, there's 235 times where we're told to seek the Lord. Now, I did not sit down with my Bible, look through, you know, page by page for that phrase and number. I'm going with whoever came up with the 233 number. There may be additional times. But in other words, a lot of times. A lot of times in the Bible we're told to seek the Lord. That is to set our mind and our heart on God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 10, the Bible says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Well, the first word in that sentence is glory. Glory ye in his holy name. Well, what does it mean to glory, to glorify God? You know, we have a general understanding of what it means to glorify God, but what particularly, specifically does it mean? What do I do to glorify God? It means to honor him, to give praise to him. So with the thought that it means to give honor to God, when you honor your father or mother, you are glorifying them. Now, we don't usually use that term when it would come to honoring our parents, but it gives us an understanding how we're to think about, how we're to feel about our parents, how we're to conduct ourselves in relationship to our mother and father. And it says here, we're to glory in his holy name. To glorify God means to honor him, how we're to conduct ourselves in his presence, to give praise to him. we could say in 1 Chronicles 16, where it says, glory ye in his holy name, we could say praise in his holy name, and it would fit with the understanding. But God chose the term glory, okay, and at times to glorify. To proclaim the greatness of his name. If we glory in his name, we proclaim the greatness of his name, to exalt him in his name. All of that's involved in the term to glory. And so in 1 Chronicles 16:10, glory ye in his holy name. Now, before we go on with this subject of seeking the Lord and glorifying God, I'm going to ask Nate if he will ask the Lord to lead us and accomplish in this lesson what he wants. Please.
Dear Lord, come to this time of prayer, and I just pray, God, that you'd give Pastor Hayne the guidance in this lesson you gave him, Lord, and just help us see what you have for us in it, Lord. I just pray you give us a blessed day in your house, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:10, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Let the heart. Now listen, heart there is not the emotions of the Valentine's Day experience that's coming up, okay? That's not what it means by heart. Heart is the inner man. And so once again, I did some research and on the matter of heart. I've been reading the Bible for years. I've been preaching for years on the heart of God. And I know I've said things, but a memory is what's important, okay? I could not remember. I thought, now, I know I've studied on the heart as it's used in the Bible, but I could not remember. So, well, I go back and put it in new, you know, just like when you're working with a computer and somehow something gets deleted. Well, then what you have to do is go back and re-enter it. Now, they're back in the program. And so I had to go and re-enter. And what I've come up with is that when it uses the word heart, like in this 10th verse, it's the core of our being. When it says heart, the inner man, the core of our being. There's many, many kinds of ways we could express it. And if you look in the Bible for where it talks about the heart, you'll see various ways it uses it for good or for bad. Okay? And my favorite verse about this is in Proverbs 4:23. It was the first verse that I ever memorized. And I can picture myself sitting in that 10-foot wide, 55-foot long trailer. That was big in its day, okay? And I remember sitting in the our son's bedroom. It had bunk beds built in. And I was sitting on a stool next to the beds. And my feet were propped up against the wall that was about 3 feet in front of me. And I was memorizing Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I've never forgotten it. It's one of those verses that I've memorized that have stayed. And so the Bible talks about your heart, not your emotions, not the one that pumps the blood in your system. that's needed, okay? But when it talks about heart, it's the inner man, it's the core of our being, and it can, you look up Bible verses, some of them will be about good, some of them will be about bad. And our determination should be that our heart would be in the good direction. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Rejoice. So that says to me that we need to have the right spirit when we're seeking the Lord. We cannot go about trying to set our mind on Him and His presence and not have a good attitude. We need to have a right spirit. Rejoice. We can't just do it because it's something we ought to do. And I know I need to get, you know, I know I need something in my life, so I'm going to seek the Lord. And but do it with, you know, do it with a rejoicing. Do it with a right spirit. Now, it's not in 1 Chronicles 16:10, but turn, if you will, please, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. and verse 29, because it has a verse that talks about seeking the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. But seek. Now there's a time frame involved there. It says, but if from thence. Now you read the context, okay, and you understand what the from thence is for the people of Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm simply saying there is a time frame involved. For them, it was from that point on. Well, you can't go back. You can't do things from, you know, a week ago. 3 weeks ago, I needed to seek the Lord and get the insight to what I'm dealing with. I can't go back. So from thence, in other words, from now, just, you know, do it now. The time frame, from thence thou shalt seek the Lord. Remember, seek the Lord, setting the mind and heart on God, seeking the face of God, seeking his presence in my life. Now, we know he lives in us, but we want his presence in us in the sense of his control, in the sense of being aware. You know, there's been times where I've watched services and some people on TV programs, you know, and they may have been of the Pentecostal persuasion. And I don't agree with Pentecostal distinctives, okay? Pentecostal distinctives are tongue speaking, okay? Giving prophecies in the sense of a person's telling things in the future. The gift of healing, it usually goes with the Pentecostal distinctives. We don't practice Pentecostal distinctives. But I'm watching the program, and I'm seeing some people that their relationship with the Lord is good. And their love of the Lord is obvious, and it's coming through. Then I've watched some other programs. They weren't Pentecostal in persuasion. as a matter of fact, I've watched some programs that would be a little toward, I can't say the liberal side, but it would be more in that direction. Now, these are not, if their building was nearby, I wouldn't be going there. But I'm watching a particular program. I'm not going there for my feeding. I come here for my feeding. But, you know, I'll hear somebody talking about the Lord. And I'll hear somebody telling about what they're experiencing at the present time. You know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing somebody that has a good relationship with God. What I'm hearing is somebody that knows the Lord. Now, I can get real theological and doctrinal on them. And I can cut them up and cut them down quick. Believe me, I'm capable of a very critical spirit. But what I'm hearing lets me know that they have sought the Lord. And with the heart. It says in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Well, how do we go about finding him? The condition is twofold in this verse. If thou seek him, okay, there's a condition. If seek the Lord, you'll find him. If, all right, if thou seek him with all. What's all mean? It means what all is, okay? It means everything. All, nothing excluded, with all thy heart, the core of our being. If with thy heart and with all thy soul. So that's the condition, all the heart and all the soul. Well, how do we distinguish the soul from the heart, because the soul involves the inner man, just like the heart involves the inner man. There's different ways to explain it. There's probably better ways to explain it, but what I've come to share with is the soul involves the will, the intellect, the emotions, the desires of my inner man. Now, sometimes we'll credit those things to the heart. And sometimes the Bible will use the heart dealing with some of those things. So it really takes some understanding to decipher between. I'm thinking of in Hebrews, where it talks about the Word of God, the sword, able to divide asunder between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So now we're going to divide the thoughts and the intentions of our heart and the soul. So you got the heart of man, you got the soul of man, both dealing with the inner man. Now, the spirit, boy, you put the spirit of man in there, and that really can confuse things in our minds. The spirit is what we communicate with God. When Adam and Eve did sin, and they died. Well, physically they didn't die. Soulishly, and with their heart as the core of their being, that didn't die. What died? Their spirit. Their spirit was separated from God. That's what death is, separation. And their spirit was separated from God because the spirit is what communicates with God. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't communicate with God. It's just that we're not at one with God in our spirit until God gives us new birth. And when we get born again, now we get a new spirit. And our spirit now is able to communicate with God and is in fellowship with God. That's why new birth is so important. Okay? New birth deals with the inner man and makes it possible from the inside to understand God, not mentally. There's a lot of what goes on. It's a mental understanding and a mental comprehension of the truths like I'm talking about. But it isn't just mentally comprehending it, because there are people that are smarter than you are, and they mentally comprehend these things even better than we do. But that doesn't make them born again. Born again is something that happens when the Spirit of God comes and regenerates us. If you regenerate, you were once generated and then you died spiritually. Now you need to be regenerated. And that's what salvation is. And so the twofold condition is the seeking with all our heart and with all our soul. Now, let's go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We were at verse 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Look at verse 11. First Chronicles chapter 16. Sorry about that. What did I say?
Corinthians.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Corinthians later, but not now. God help. Believe me. I was at Aldi's yesterday getting some salsa and chips for downstairs. Mrs. Hay not able to make things, and so she's come up with things that she can send. One of them was salsa and chips. And while I'm there, there's a lady that I know. I could not remember her first or last name. Yeah, not at all. And I wanted to say hello, but I wanted to speak her name, not just say, hey, hi, how are you doing? That would have got it accomplished, but I wanted to speak her name. Fortunately, I know her through the library, and I could get I'll tell you, I love this digital age we're in. I could get my cell phone out. I could go to the library, and there I could find her son works at the library, and so I could find him on the schedule. And then after that, I went a different aisle to do that. I was able to come by with my cart and say, hey, how you doing, Mrs. Dandry? Good to see you. I look so good. Yes, Lord. And so, but I was able, I like cell phones for that reason, okay? Because when the memory isn't there, it doesn't work. And you say, well, I don't have that problem. Hang on, you might. And if you don't, you just thank the Lord. I mean, I have had to, I worked one whole day, morning, afternoon, to come up and remember the name, the last name of a family member. Now, because of this sort of thing, you say, oh, that sounds like Alzheimer's. Yeah, doesn't it? And so I've talked to my doctor about it, and he said, actually, he said, what you've got is just an overload. You have too much stuff up there that you're dealing with, and therefore something comes along like this, and I don't know. But here I am right now, amen? And we're looking at verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek, that is, set your mind and your heart on God. Seek his face. What's the last word? Continually. And so what I get out of this verse is that there needs to be some consistency. It cannot be a sporadic thing. We can't be seeking the Lord and his strength, his understanding, his help. We can't be doing that just when we feel that we need it. Amen. Well, I really feel down. I need to seek the Lord. No, you need to seek the Lord when you feel up. See, we're depending, we're living on our feelings when we do that. Yeah. I'm feeling good, so I don't need to seek the Lord. Oh, you sure do. You need to seek the Lord all the time. And so consistency is so important. Seek his face continually. Now we're still in 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, if you will. Chapter 22. And we're going to go to verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Now there again, you see, just like we did in a previous verse with the heart and the soul in Deuteronomy 4:29, we saw, seek it with all the heart, with all the soul. Here he says it again, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore. Now here again, the context of this is for the people to whom it was written. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is profitable. So it was not written to us, or it was not written about us, but we are able to learn from it. And so he says, arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary. That was the sanctuary in God's promise to Solomon in Jerusalem. And that's what they were supposed to arise. But they were supposed to do it after their heart and soul sought the Lord. And build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Praise God. Oh, what are we going to do? We're not building a sanctuary. We're not even building a church building. We got one. Well, we fix it up sometimes. Well, maybe we could insert that there and apply it. God once dwelt in the sanctuary in the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. Where does God dwell now? Tell me. In your heart. In your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God lives in us. And what we're supposed to be building now is not with bricks and stones, but it's with the things of the knowledge of God, the insight and the understanding of God. We're to build our lives. That's how we do it. And so we're to arise and build our sanctuary, a dwelling place And the place that God now dwells is in your heart. I'm going to close with this. Like I said, next time I teach, I'll just continue this. It can go on forever. It can go on for 233 times. That's the number of verses that I've been told have seek the Lord. I'm not going over all of them, believe me. My son gave me this, and I wish I had his mind. Wishing doesn't get anything. I would desire to have his mind. He said, "Dad, the world has it turned backwards." I said, "What's that?" He says, "Well, we're to seek wisdom and knowledge, but the world tells us we need to have education. Education is what solves things. And then with education, you can have some intelligence. And then when you have intelligence, you know what to do with knowledge. And then out of that, you'll get wisdom." But that is backwards. What the Bible teaches is that we're to seek the wisdom of God. And have the knowledge and understanding, okay, of what it is we're living with or living about. Intelligence then comes after that. And when you have that kind of a foundation, now you can have an education that's going to benefit you. But you see, we have people going for an education, trying to find intelligence. They're starting backwards, and that's why they end up having problems. And that's why the teachers end up teaching the goofiest, dumbest stuff that you could think of. Because they're starting backwards. The world looks for education, that's the instruction. Then they look out of that to have intelligence, that's the ability to acquire information. And then they feel that they'll have knowledge, okay? They'll know what they need to know. And that'll give them wisdom. That makes them to be wise. No, it's backwards. When you go to the Bible, it's wisdom, okay? And that's this, and then you have knowledge. That's the skill and ability for the information that you have with knowledge. And then intelligence is what comes as a result of that. And then your education can be, it can be something that builds you. I'm looking for an S word and it's not coming to mind. It builds you in your faith, and your structure then is beneficial. Well, that's what we'll do for today with Seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord. And, you know, if you want to look up any of the verses that talk about seeking, I found a concordance, and I just, in the concordance, looked for the phrase, seek the Lord. And these are the verses that I wrote down from it. I felt that they have things that can be applied to our lives and a benefit to our lives. But you can do what I did. You can take a concordance. Sometimes in the back of your Bible, there'll be a concordance. Yeah, that may not be big enough. You can buy a concordance. That's the whole Bible, okay? You can go on Amazon or wherever you buy books, and you can look for a Bible concordance. They have every word that's in the Bible, okay? And you want some real deep study? Go for the word "and." Okay, no, seriously, you can look up "seek" in a concordance, okay? And that's how you find these verses. You say, "Well, I don't know how to find them. I don't understand how you get them." You can tell from what I've described to you about my mind today that if I didn't have resources, I wouldn't be getting it. But you get a concordance. And then you can also get a Bible dictionary. Now, all of these resources need to be used with understanding and the direction of the Lord. You just don't have to, like, you get a Bible dictionary, and I like to use my Bible dictionary for people. I'll read about a person, and I wonder who he is. You know, I could take 3 days to look through every page and find his name. Or I can take a Bible dictionary and that guy did it. And now he tells me every place it is. But listen, I don't depend on the man that wrote the dictionary that tells me about whatever the name is. I depend on the Word of God and the Spirit for what he says about that man. The dictionary is just a tool. You know, when I'm doing a lot of cooking now, and I don't like to cook. Told you that before. I do a lot of cooking. Listen, when I'm going, and I need a spice, okay? And so I'll go and I'll open the cabinet door, okay? I didn't make the cabinet. I'm just using the cabinet. And there on the shelf, there's one of the spin around things, and Mrs. Hayne has all of the spices that she uses set there. And so then she'll tell me, now go find whatever. And then I'll find whatever, and it says whatever written on it. I take it out, and I use it. I didn't make the cabinet. I didn't make the shelf. I didn't write the Bible dictionary. But it gives me some basic information. And now I can go to the Bible and from the Bible find out. And there's times where I've read the Bible dictionary and then I've gone to the Bible and I didn't like what the man who wrote the dictionary said about that particular person. I didn't feel that it was as accurate as it could be. And so I go with the Bible. The Bible is the source. But those are some, you know, a concordance, a Bible dictionary, those are some, they're basic sources. Those are one of the first things that I got when I was saved and started studying the Bible. And and I find, I used a whole lot of other stuff along the way, but I found out that always those two have been helpful. So thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, and thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts that you put into my heart and mind regarding the subject of seeking